I was in the prayer room / nursery this morning, and woo! We were getting ready for the new year. I was needing that, and maybe you need it too. So I'm asking Monica to open 2017 at Harmony Church. I wanted an intercessor to open it. So, Monica, would you lead us in prayer before we do anything else? This is the first. We're starting in prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. Father, 2017 is already open because
yes,
you
Lord.
Have already opened
done it,
Lord. Father God, we just want to thank you for your presence for this year. We thank
Praise
you,
Lord.
O God, for the goodness, Father God, that, Father, you already have already poured down for this year, O God. Father God, I just pray for your body, Lord. I pray for your body. I pray for our community. Father God, as we enter into this new year, Lord, we will look to
yes,
you.
Lord.
Father God, we will look to you, our author and finisher of our faith, O God. That, Father God, we will look to you, Father, for all the needs, all the stuff that is going to be coming our way, O God. We will look to you. We thank you that your mercy, Father God, is new every morning, O God. And Father God, we know that, Lord, it will be amazing and it will be marvelous because you are our King. You are our refuge. You are our shelter, O God. And you are calling to us to come. Come. Come to me.
Yes,
all you who are weary. All you who are heavy laden today, come to me and I will give you rest. So, Father, I just pray for your people today that, Lord, that they will receive from you with open hearts that they will come to you, that you are good, Father. And, Father, right now, Lord, you want to pour all that you have upon them. All you are asking them to do is open their hearts, open their minds, open themselves to you,
yes, Father,
and receive all that you have because your promises are yes and amen. And, Father, I just want to thank you again and praise you for your goodness and for all your glory. All your mercy in the mighty and glorious name of Jesus. And everybody says,
Amen. Amen. Call it bad times, and some might think that was a good time, 2016. Sometimes the good times get swallowed up in the bad times, and we forget about all the good times. But the fact is, whatever you may declare it to be, the Bible says that we should count it all joy, right? So it may have been bad, the devil may have kicked the snot out of you a little bit, but you know, at least that's the way it may have felt in certain circumstances. But don't forget, Jesus crushed his head. Count it all joy, the good times and bad. God is unchangeable. We go into 2017, and guess what? Same God. He'll take us through. Let's sing that again. Child of God. You know, fear is a terrible thing. It's just not of God. It's not of God. It just robs and steals and takes so much away. And so we need a declaration. I'm a child of God. Get your hands off me. Fear, got no place here. Amen. I'm a child of God.
You split the sea.
You split the sea. Amen. Walk right through, all my fears are drowned in perfect love.
You rescued me so I could stand and
sing. I'm a child of God. Somebody's got an amen. Praise God. child of God. That's what I am. Megan's going to pray first, and then whoever feels led. If you feel like there's a prophetic word coming on for our sister, then you feel free to share what the Spirit of God is revealing in and through you. And we're sitting back as the elders are sitting back as accountability factor.
Lord, I thank you so much your daughter. Mm. That Lord, you claim her, and that Lord, you claim her yours, and you claim her as yours first. I thank you so much for this past year, the beauty that I have witnessed to, Lord, and I can testify to that she is growing, and you are growing her, and there's beauty, and there's transformation,
Lord.
And you call it good, Lord, that you call your daughter good.
Ooh, ta-da-da-da-da.
Jesus, I thank you that you make good things, that nothing in this world is too broken for you, too far for you,
Father God.
Too forsaken for you to touch, and for you to mold, and just call good. So
yes,
Lord, I thank you,
yes,
and I send
yes,
blessing, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
and
Lord.
I send peace that
yes,
Jesus,
Lord.
You will carry her through it, Lord. I testify that you show up when
Father.
We step out.
Yes, you
that,
do.
That, Lord, you are a living God
who shows
up when we step out.
Yes.
So, Lord, thank you for her willingness to take a risk. And I pray that your comfort carries her through so she knows that you never leave her alone.
Mm.
That emotions and circumstances and eyes do not limit you. That you are greater than anything she could ever understand. And she still calls you. May she always still call you no matter the circumstance, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Father. Oh, ta-da-da-da, yes, ta-da-da-da. Praise God.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for the anointing that you have placed upon our sister. Father, I thank you and I praise you for the gifts that you have given to her. Father, as she steps out for these few months, Lord, and comes into learning more about you and learning more about what you would have for her, Father, I pray that she would receive it. Lord, I see authority in the words that she speaks. As she knows her place in your kingdom, Father, as your child, as heir to the kingdom. Father, I see authority being placed upon her. And as she speaks that authority, your Holy Spirit speaks through her and in her. Father, I ask that you would just bless this time. Lord, help Lauren to be open to the things that you have for her. Help her to set aside the fears that she has and allow her to step out into the gifts and the anointing
Lord
Jesus, I just pray for Lauren this morning for this wonderful opportunity that she's embarking on. Lord, I pray that she would have an open heart and open ears on this journey, this opportunity to learn. And Lord, I especially pray for a hedge of protection around Lauren as she's away from her family, Lord. Lord, just let her be your vessel. Let her speak the words you would have her speak. And let her learn about herself, the child
Lord.
That she is of you.
Yes, Lord.
Let her start her journey,
yes,
continue her journey on learning her gifts, who she is, and let her grow stronger in her faith. Pray for these things in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord.
Jesus, I pray, Father, I just thank you, Lord, that we are daughters of the King, Father. Lauren is your daughter and sons of the King, Father.
Them,
help us to remember, and Lauren to remember, Father, that you are ushering us to the throne.
Yes, Lord.
That each moment, Father, you are ushering us. That you are there with us, and you are ushering us towards you. So, Father, just during this time away, Father, may she know, Father, that she is forever with you. You are forever by her side,
thank
and you
Jesus.
Are ushering her and leading her. Thank you, Father, for your goodness.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you,
yes,
Lord, for your grace.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
When they were singing that song earlier about the blood of God flows through my veins, the blood of the King, Laura and I just got the feeling, not forget who you are and where you come from, that you're a daughter of the King with his blood flowing through your veins. No matter what geographical area you go to, you belong to the King.
Lord, I pray that you take away all fear.
Yes, Lord.
And give her strength, Lord, to reach out to others who are lost. Give her that courage, Lord. Take away fear, Lord. I know that Lauren suffers from shyness. Take away the shyness. Lord, let her reach out. Just shine in her, Lord. Let others see the love that she has in her. She's so beautiful, Lord. We thank you for her service. Lord, we just thank you that she's having this opportunity to go and serve you and to learn more about you, Lord. So open up her mind, Lord, and open up her heart.
Yes, Lord.
And bless her, Lord. We raise a blessing on her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Go ahead, Mama. Go aradadiasa, tadiaradiasa.
Father, forgive me. As a mom, Lord, we want our kids. When we get to know you, Lord, we want our children to get to know you.
Yes.
Father, I pray that you would wash off the past. I pray that you would wash off the past, Father, and just fill her with new. That the past is the past. I pray, Father, that she would forgive the past and things that happened, Father, and that as she walks forward, oh Jesus, Jesus, you just fill her with love. You just fill her with your strength and your confidence in you and who you are and who you created her to be. I thank you, Father, that the old has passed away and that the new has begun, Father, and I pray that as she steps forward from here, this day forward, the step is new. The step is new. It's new. It's new.
It is.
Praise the Lord. You say, I receive, I receive, I receive, I receive. I receive. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are thankful, O God, for everything you've done for us. In 2016, you've been a good God. You've been faithful. You have kept your word. We haven't always kept ours. Thus the problem. Lord, we pray that in 2017, Father God, we would hold tightly to your promises, that we may see the manifest power of God at work in our lives. We thank you, Father God, for the rich resources that you have, that you've deposited into the body of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to give and to share in kingdom work, both here at Harmony and around the world. We ask your blessing on this offering, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Lauren's got a song to share before I preach the word this morning.
I chose the song because I've always sang it. I've sang it before in the church, but I was singing it the other day, and I realized that it was really what God had. He put it on my heart because he's been really pushing me out of my comfort zone this year, and he's been kind of, I haven't really been trusting him as much as I should. And when I didn't, he showed me that he had me in his arms and that he didn't forget about me. And this song kind of spoke to me. Great unknown. oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Your grace abounds in waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide.
Thank you, Lord.
Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you've never failed, and you won't start now. And above the waves, when oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Keep my eyes above the waves.
Yes, Lord.
My soul will rest in your embrace. I am yours, and you are mine.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise be to God. Good to hear that. Just felt the Holy Spirit all over that, did you? Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. I'm going to just shave off a couple of verses here and get down to the nitty-gritty of the text, and that is Isaiah 43, the wonderful passage from a wonderful chapter in God's holy word. I hope you have your Bibles today or your apps. So please look it up. Verse 19 says this, verse 18, sorry, says this, do not call to mind the former things, or it also says don't remember the past or forget the past. Or ponder the things of the past, NIV I believe says, It says, don't dwell in the past. Don't live there. Don't set up a tabernacle. Don't go there and live and establish yourself. It says this, verse 19, behold, I, that's Almighty God says, I will do something new. Actually, what he is saying is this in the Hebrew is, I will continue, I am starting, and I am continuing to do something new, and I will continue to do it until it's done. Do you feel you're done yet? No? Okay, so he's still working on you. Amen? As he's still working on me. He says, behold, I do something new. It will now spring forth. Are you not aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals, the ostrich, because I have given water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people, my people whom I have formed for myself. I will declare, they will declare my praise. Father, I thank you, Father God, for your goodness and grace to us today. Lord, people have come to the house of God and have shared their gifts. Whether it was in the offering time or whether it was, Lord, the children coming up to the front or those that were helping the children or, Father God, the praise team or those that were involved in the sound or those that were doing specials or those who came and shared a testimony or those who prayed or whoever, Father God, or those who simply blessed somebody else by saying Happy New Year because they meant it. Father God, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity this day, January 1st, 2017, that we could come into the house of God and share our gifts with one another. Lord, may it continue. Father, we ask, Lord, your grace and mercy would continue with us and grant us, O Lord, the Spirit of the living God in a strengthening way in this year because we're going to need it. We're going to need him. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. A few years back, we were selling our ancestral home, been in the family for 200 years. And whenever anything's been around for 200 years, you know, Raymond, whenever you've been around for 200 years, you know, you collect a lot of stuff, especially if you stay in the same farm for 200 years. And so we're going through the dry sheds now, those that don't understand what a dry shed is. Okay, anyways, I'm not going to get into explaining farm stuff. But we were cleaning out the dry sheds and above, you know, everything gets stuffed up there. You know, all kinds of stuff, you know, over 100 years gets stuffed up there. And so we're taking it down, getting it ready for the auctioneer to come and sell it. Well, I came across something that I'd never seen before. And, you know, and as a kid, I played in these dry sheds. I played in the barn. I played in all these places, you know, above the old machinery dry sheds, basically where they used to store machinery. And these machines hadn't moved in many years, some of them. I thought I had seen it all up there, you know, crawling around as a kid, but I came across something I'd never seen before, and so I took hold of that thing. What it was my mother, when she was a child, she had polio, and to make it through high school, to go to high school in three floors of Perth High School without an elevator, she had to crawl up and down, or, you know, walk up and down those stairs with this massive leg brace. It was a series of straps, of leather straps, a girdle going around, going down, steel with leather, steel with leather, steel with leather, going down. Your foot went into it, and you would clump along with this noisy thing. And I had never seen it before. I mean, I knew she had polio. I knew that she had obviously graduated high school, went to teacher's college, became a teacher, But I never appreciated what she went through until I held this thing. Some of you have seen the movie Forrest Gump. Well, it was worse than that one. And so anyways, to me it was like a neat find. And so I bring it down from the dry shed. I go into the farmhouse and I go, look what I found. And my mother had not seen that thing in I don't know how many decades. And she, who's a quiet little Baptist lady, she looked at that and she said, they didn't keep that. The fact of the matter is, they kept everything. You know some folks like that. She says, get that thing out of my sight. And don't ever let me see it again. I thought it was kind of neat. I never seen such a reaction from a nice little Baptist lady as that. Get that thing out of my sight. and I never want to see it again. And so I did. I didn't let them take it, and I just, she had a thought of just watching this auctioneer holding it up in the air in front of a crowd of people, you know, saying, how much for this, you know? Oh, it was used once by a polio victim, you know, 1950. And I went and put it back up in the dry shed and put it in the far corner, and whoever bought the farm, it's back in there somewhere still. Is there anything in your life that if somebody brought it out that you would have such a reaction to, I never want to see that again. I don't want to hear about that. That's the past. That is something that's over. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear about it because even seeing it brings up pain. I saw the pain in my mother's face when I brought this thing out, the shock and the horror, and all of a sudden it just flooded over me. Her pain from her childhood experience or high school experiences. Perhaps you're attached to your pain. Perhaps you are stuck in the past. The Bible here says, God says to the people of Israel, he says, listen, he says, I want you to forget it. I do not want you, NIV, I do not want you to dwell in the past. I don't want you to live there in the area of your sin and rebellion. I don't want you to stay there. But sometimes we have an event that anchors us in the past. It's like an anchor. It keeps us there. It holds us back. And it prevents us from moving forward into what God has for us in the future. God is saying, I'm doing a new thing, but if you've had a trauma or a hurt or a pain in your past, it's a good thing that you don't want to dwell there. It's a bad thing if you can't let go of that crutch, so to speak. If you can't stop dwelling in the past, then you need to declare that dwelling place condemned. Have it demolished by the Holy Spirit. We call it deliverance. If you don't condemn it, then it will keep condemning you and keep you from moving forward. God is saying that I am able to forget your past, then surely you can let go of it. Look at verse 25 in this same text. I didn't take the time to read it, but look at verse 25. He says, this is God Almighty saying, I, even I, am the one who wipes away your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins again. God is saying, could you at least do what I can do? He says, you know, I mean, I'm willing to forget. I'm willing to let go of your transgressions. I'm willing to move on from that place. I'm willing. God Almighty, you are the one who sinned against me. And I am the one, God Almighty says, I am willing to forget the past. I'm willing to move forward. If God is willing to do it, why can't we do it? We know the text of Scripture in Psalm 103, which says, as far as the east is from the west, so far I have removed thy transgressions. God does a wonderful job of letting go of the past, of letting go of the failures, of letting go of the breach of covenant. But notice for whose sake he says. He says this, for my sake. Even I will wipe out your transgressions for my own sake. I will not remember your sins. Wait a minute, why is God saying for God's sake? Some people use that often as a swear word or as an expression or as a, you know, for God's sake. You know, 99.9% of the time when somebody says, for God's sake, would you stop doing this? Or for God's sake, it's not for God's sake. It has nothing to do with God. But this is the one place where the Bible says it's actually for God's sake. For God's sake, let go of your sins. For God's sake, you ever have someone that said that often? For God's sake, let go of your sins. Why, for God's sake, because He loves you. He cares about you. You've broken His covenant, but He wants that restoration of relationship with you. He doesn't want to remember the past. He wants you to let go of those things. He wants you to live in joy and victory. He wants you to live in the promises of God, which are yea and amen. He wants you to move forward in your life. And it hurts Him when His children don't. For God's sake, would you let go of the past? I think I can say it legitimately because the Scripture here says it. God wants us to appreciate our history, but not be historic. As the church, the people of God, we are to be a movement that is moving forward in the present and not a museum that is stuck in the past. If you can't live in the past and expect to see what God is planning for your future, because we're only designed as human beings to look in one direction. We can only focus on one thing at a time. You can focus on the future, you can focus on the past. We're not talking about driving down the road where you have to kind of keep an eye on the rear view mirror every now and then. That's a good practice. But driving, looking back all the time is a very dangerous practice. We're designed by God to focus on one direction. There's only two animals that I know of that can see in the back and the front. They used to raise rabbits. I believe they have a 362-degree vision. There's only, I think there's 2 degrees, 365, right? Or is that the number of years there? I don't know, whatever. Days there in a year. You know, 360? Oh, 360. So if they have 362. All right, let's back it down. 350, whatever it is. You know, I think there's only 2 degrees that a rabbit can't see. It's, you know, the eyes stick out and they see all around. And there's almost virtually no blind spot to it. A parrot is almost the same. A parrot can see. So those two animals, they can focus on the future, so to speak. They can focus ahead and they can focus behind at the same time, see what's coming at them. But we're not made that way. God did not design us like a rabbit. We can see the fruit. We can focus on the future. We can focus on the past. You choose. God is not saying that we're never to remember anything again. In fact, he says in this very text that we are to remember the good things that God has done for us. In verse 26, he even actually challenged us. If you want to look at verse 26, this is amazing here. Verse 26, he says, put me in remembrance. Remember, let us debate our case together. God is actually challenging our view of the past. What's he saying here? Put me in remembrance and let us debate our case. Or in the New American Standard, says, let us argue our case together. He says, you want to debate about the past? You want to argue about the past? You want to get into a debate? Get into a debate with me. Friends, you don't want to get into a debate with God. Because we have our own view of the past, and God's view is absolutely perfect. If you want to complain about the things in the past, say, it's not fair. What I went through is not fair. Lord, I want to debate you. I challenge Almighty God to a debate because in my view and in my opinion, I had a raw deal. So I'd like to debate you about the past. God says, okay, go for it. See, you don't want to debate God about history because history is his story. You will never win when you debate God about the past. If you want to complain about things, let's open up the history books, God says, and he says, see if grace hasn't thrived where sin has abounded. See that I wasn't there every inch and every step of the way. See that I wasn't actually involved in your life at every moment. See that I didn't give you many, 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 many options to get out of that situation and many open doors to get away from the temptation that was there. No, you don't want to debate God about the past. We don't want to debate God about the future either. We're not good at predicting the future. I don't know how these analysts make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year saying this guy. I mean, nobody predicted Trump was going to be president except himself, and I don't even think he believed it a year ago. I mean, nobody predicted or really believed that Britain would leave Europe in the Brexit. I mean, they're all just totally in absolute shock. You don't want to debate God about the past. You don't want to debate God about the future. We are poor at prediction, but we need to hang on to his promises. You know, there are many that will run off to prophets. Hey, I believe in prophecy. I believe in the spirit of prophecy. I believe God speaks to his children. I believe he speaks today. I believe he speaks and gives direction to our lives. But friends, you run off for prediction, you're running in the wrong direction. Run to promises. See, then you go to God's word. If we would know more of the promises of God, we wouldn't care about the predictions. People are going to, in fact, I saw it on the Facebook, you know, you can go and even online go to prophetesses or prophet people and get a prediction of your future for 2017. These are so-called Christians that are running these things and gaining, and you have to pay a little money for it so you can find out what's going to happen to you in 2017, and there'll be prophetic predictions. You know what? Some of them are okay. I'm not saying that it can't happen. I'm not saying that God doesn't give light to the future, because He always does give light to the future to the church. But I'm saying this, friends, if you would dig in and find the promises of God for you for 2017, you'll be way far ahead than finding some kind of prediction. Because the promises of God are yea and amen, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians. The promises of God are massive. There's many of them. We're many undiscovered promises, many things that we're not claiming and holding on to that we should claim and hold on to. Amen? It'll make you through 2017. You don't need to know if you're going to get married in 2017. Brother Neil didn't know last year. It was like, wow, if I had said, yea, Lord, say it unto thee, you will find a wife in Brazil. Yea, go and fly unto Brazil, and thou wilt find it. You know, I had done that. That would have been, you know, hey, I would have got good credit for that, you know, made me look good, you know, whatever else. But that didn't happen. I had no idea he was going to find a Brazilian lady. A year ago this time, I had no idea. But I tell you what, the promises of God for Neil and for every one of us is yea and amen. It's still the same. Dig into this book. Find out what the promises of God are. Amen. Some people will dwell in the past until they have, because they've been victimized in the past. They vilify somebody else. And their hatred, their anger, their bitterness toward that person or toward that event will keep them lodged in the past. They can't move forward because of the past. Because if they do, they have to give up their delusion. To give up their delusion means they have to let go. Let go. So they allow somebody else to make their possibilities impossible. Don't let the bad choices of others in the past dictate your future. Sounds like Joyce Myers. I think I just quoted her. I don't know. Then there's a new thing. That's the old thing. There's a choice. The old failure, the God's new way. Amen. It says here, he says, I am doing a new thing. I just want to just quickly talk about this. What's the new thing that God wants to do? As I said at the very beginning, God is doing a new thing. He is doing something. He continues to do a new thing. He is always doing something new. Amen. He's always on the move. He's always doing something. But there are three things, which I don't have time to preach on this morning, to which he's really doing new, which are brought out in this text of chapter 43. The first thing is restoration. He is restoring. He's bringing water to the desert. He's allowing the ostrich, and he talks about the jackal, and depending on your translation, he is an environmentally friendly God. He is restoring, you know, places that were parched. He is taking places that were abused and abandoned, and he's bringing life to them again. He is restoring. And he's restoring in your life. That's what he wants to do in your home and your finances and in your health and everything else. He wants to do good things. He wants to continue to bring restoration in you and in your life and your family and this nation. That's what he wants to do. That's the thing he desires to do. He desires to restore, but that's not a one-time thing. It's not that he did it in Isaiah chapter 43 and he stopped doing it. It's something that he's continuing to do. It's something that's in his character. It's something in his heart to do. He will finish it, friends. It will not be until the kingdom comes in its fullness someday. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns, he'll deal with it, and amen, he'll make all things new. But it's in his nature to do those things. It's provision. He provides water. He provides this and that. And the last thing is his purpose. He reveals the purposes to us. So God's new thing, actually, if I had time to get into it, is he takes old things and he renews them. Taking desert places and making the streams to flow again. Making our purpose revealed and true and alive again. Verse 21, if you would look at verse 21, here's the purpose of his people. He says this, the people whom I have formed for myself. Now who did he make you for? For yourself? Did he make you for you? Who did he make the church for? The church is Israel. Who did he make Israel for? The chosen people of God. Who did he make them for? For themselves to enjoy? For yourself? He says, for the people I have formed for myself. He says, I'm doing it. This, they're for, you're mine. He says, will declare my praise. The people who I have formed for myself will declare my praises. That's your purpose, friends. You want to know your purpose in 2017? Praise Him! Hallelujah. Your purpose is to praise Him. That's what you're here for. Dare I go to the Westminster Catechism? Statement number one, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Pastor Dan's not here to shout amen. I quoted the Winchester Catechism. Westminster Catechism. Amen. You know, that's what we're here for, friends. The more that you praise Him, the more you're revealed as His, and the more you're revealed as your purposes are His. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? What am I going to what's going to happen to me? Praise Him! And you'll find your purpose. Just keep praising Him. The new thing is that God is doing is to take the old thing and making it new and fresh again, making us into the people we were supposed to be in the first place. Bringing us back to before sin. Second Adam brings us back to the garden, brings us back to the good things and walking with God and enjoying His presence. If you promise to praise in the new year, you will become the people of promise. Boy, that sounds like Joyce Meyer too. It's not. God does speak to me too, you know. If you promise to praise in this new year, you will become the people of promise. But you'll have to start seeing things in a different way. The story I shared at the manor this week, it came to my attention. I came across a little blog. This young woman, her name is Jessica Jensen. No relation to our Jensens, I don't think, here. She describes in her life a time when she was in desperate depression, despondent to the point of requiring medication, despondent to the point of needing a therapist. She had a real rough year. I don't know what your year's been like, but she had a rough year. She had lost family members to death. Lost relationship, lost job. And so her therapist said, you should take a holiday by the beach and just walk along the beach and see the greatness of creation. And I don't know if he was a Christian counselor or not, but just that was his advice to her. And so she went and checked into a resort somewhere on some beach, I don't know where. And early in the morning, she got up and she walked the beach because she didn't really want to be around people. And when you're down like that, sometimes that's the way it is. Went early enough in the morning that there was nobody on the beach, began to walk along the beach. And the first thing she sees is driftwood. Because, you know, it's been through the night, the tide has come in, the tide has went out. And she looks, look, washed up. That's what she thinks. Driftwood, drifting aimlessly, and then finally it gets washed up on a beach. Then as she walks along, she sees some empty shells, you know, people often go along and collect. She looks at that, an empty shell. That's my life. I'm an empty shell. And then she goes along a little further, and then there's some seaweed that is washed up on shore, and again, it's dead. It's washed up. It's useless. And of course, if you've been around seaweed, I was in New Brunswick in my church. You know, stuff stinks. You know, it's fun in the water. You know, but when it gets up on the shoreline, it doesn't smell so good. And then a little further along, not too long, and there's this dead, beautiful sea bird. Death. She's just so miserable. So she goes over to the edge of the beach and sits in a sand dune, and she says, oh, this is not helping me any. And then a couple of kids come along, and they're walking the beach, and they come along this dead, beautiful dead bird. Wow! You ever been a kid? Man, you kick it a few times, you poke it, you know. They go get a stick, you know, that's washed up, and they start poking this is great, you know, what a find, you know. And they take the sticks and they think, well, let's have a little ceremony for it. And so they take the couple of pieces of the driftwood and they dig out a hole and they put the bird in it, and they take some of the seaweed, and like string, and they made a cross tied the couple of pieces of driftwood together, and with another one pounded in the thing. There was also this other thing that I forgot to mention, was there was some of netting, some roping from some rigging, you know, that had broken away and it was useless, you know. And that's what she looked at that. She says, "Look, it's my, like my life. It's useless. It's not good anymore." And after they were done their little funeral, they took it and they played skip rope and went off down the road, went off down the beach. And you know, it changed her whole way of looking at things. Everything she had looked at, they had looked at. But everything they saw the potential in it. God can and will do a new thing, but he's going to use some old stuff to do it. And all you have to do is let go and let God. Confess the past, deal with it. Embrace your life as a person of praise and allow your purpose to make itself manifest. Father, we're thankful, O God, today that you are not done with us yet. That, Lord, you can take washed up, useless, empty shells and even death. And Lord, if we look at ourselves like that after coming through 2016 and we say, "Oh, I'm just an empty shell. I'm just a useless piece of robe. I'm just washed up." Father, give us a child's heart. Lord, the kingdom is such as a child. Give us that childlike faith to come along and say and see potential, see fun in everything, see joy in it all, to see potential in the things that have washed up in our life. Father, we ask, O Lord, you would give us a vision of 2017 that would be one full of hope and one full of the promises of Almighty God. And I want each one of us today, just as we're praying and closing this service today, there's something that has to die. There's something that has to let go. There's something that maybe somebody has brought it back. You thought it was dead and they brought it back into your life. And you say, I want you to say in your heart and in your spirit today, "Get that thing out of here and I don't want to ever see it again." Whatever that thing is, whatever that thing has been holding you back, whatever that thing that's been an anchor in your life into the past that's prevented you from embracing the promises of God. Maybe it's a hurt. Maybe it's a personal failure. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a decision that somebody made for you or you made for yourself, and you just need to say right now, "Get that thing out of my face. I don't want to ever see it again." You just need to let go. And then you need to come before the Lord Almighty and say, "Lord, I want to see with your eyes what it is that you have for me. I want to be able to walk along the beach and enjoy it. I want to be able to see purpose and life and fulfillment and all the stuff that is around me, including the people that you brought into my life. Father God, I embrace the future because you have new things for me, Lord, and I'm excited about that. A little hesitant, maybe a little nervous, but Father, I embrace it, Father God. Lord, I receive." Could you say that? Can you say it out loud even? "I receive it, Lord. I receive your new thing." Could you say it out loud? Because confession is important. As a part of your spiritual health, I receive it. I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. But now may the grace and mercy and peace of God our Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, may he rest upon you with power and presence, and may you be the people of praise that God has called you to be. Go forth in peace and walk in the newness of life. Amen.